I would like to start tonight by opening the Word of God, and if you could have your Bible with you, if you'd just like to open in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and Ephesians is found between Galatians and Philippians. And I've chosen this word from the Scriptures as it more or less would outline how my life was. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And I end my reading there. I would just like to begin tonight just to say that this chapter sums up my life, and because I was dead in trespasses and sins, and I walked according to the course of this world. And by God's grace, I am able to stand here and testify how God changed my life. I'll give you an outline of my life from when I was born. I was born in 1952 on the 19th of February. And I was the second child in the family. I have one older sister, and I also have then five younger sisters and a brother. So there was eight in our family altogether. So in 1952, we just lived outside Bush Mills, and my father and mother, they had a farm, and I loved the farm from when I was no age. As soon as I was able to walk, I was outside wanting to do everything around the farm and follow my dad everywhere he went. And I was a bit wild in my childhood, even up to the age of four. I think I visited A&E at least three times, drinking paraffin oil, getting a fork stuck on my leg, falling out of the car. That's just three of the things that I got up to. Plus, there was lots more, but I didn't quite make it to A&E. But such as the sort of person I was, one of the men that worked in the farm, he nicknamed me Dennis the Menace, and I certainly lived up to that name, and I certainly was a menace. Whenever we were I was 5 years old, we moved to another farm, a bigger farm, just outside Ballabogie. So we moved a new house, new school, and a new church and Sunday school. From the age of four, our parents faithfully sent us to Sunday school every Sunday. We never missed a week. And we also then, after Sunday school, we went to church. And although both our parents couldn't always come to church due to the farm and one thing or another, but usually one or the other would have been at church with us. So I grew up in the Presbyterian church, but the whole time I went to Sunday school, I don't ever recall anybody telling me that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. So I just thought then, about 1960, I think it was, was the first time that I actually heard the gospel, and it was at a children's mission not too far from our home. And we actually rode our bikes down to the wee hall that was there. And it was just a wee wooden construction. We went in, and there was a story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I was just totally mesmerized by the story. And it mentioned about the rich man being in hell and then Lazarus being in heaven. And it's the first time it really sort of I recognized there was such a place as heaven and such a place as hell. But then as I grew up in my childhood, I just thought the only people that would go to hell would be really bad people, you know, people that are evil and maybe murderers or something like that. They would have to be really evil to go to hell, but I didn't think that I would come into that category. Then as 1965 would sort of hit my teenage years, as a child I was a bit of a tomboy and I loved the farm, as I said, and I drove tractors from when I was 10 years old, and I did everything on the farm that a tractor could do, and milked cows, did all that sort of thing, and I was always a bit of a tomboy. But then when it came to my teenage years, I changed. I became more girly, and because it wasn't cool to be a tomboy. So I became more interested in boys, discos, dancing. My sister and I would go along to, we started going to what they call GA parties. I'm sure some of the older ones would remember those. They used to hold them in church halls, and it was like girls' auxiliary parties, but they were more like a dance. And then we sort of went from that to nightclubs and one thing another. So all through my teenage years, I just was mad at the weekends to get out, and so milking the cows was kind of done quickly, and then into the shower and get the perfume on and away out. Then in 1970, well, I left school about 1968. I hated school with a passion, absolutely hated it. Couldn't wait to get out of school. All I wanted to do was something outdoors. Never really settled in any particular job. Never really got satisfaction in the jobs that I was in. In 1970, my sister, she was nursing in 1970, and she came home one day and told us that she'd got saved, and I thought she'd gone mad, and I thought, what, you know, and I thought, no, she'll never stick this. It was like saying, I'm just going to become a nun, you know, that's how I'd seen it, and I thought, oh, no, she'll never stick this, and I gave her 2 weeks, and of course, 2 weeks went by, 2 months went by, and so on, and she still was going on with the Lord. And I had to say I respect her for it. One day I was going to work and I was standing at the end of our lane and, sorry, if I switch something off here. I thought maybe the mic had gone there. Can you hear me okay? I was standing at the end of the lane and this car came along and I sort of, at that time, I think I'd missed the bus and I knew there was always people coming up the road who would give me a lift. Even though I was mad about cars, I couldn't afford one. I could drive, but I couldn't afford a car. But this man stopped, and I sort of was feeling a bit uneasy about getting into the car. But I knew, I looked at my watch, and I thought, right, if I don't take this lift, I'm going to be late for work, and I'll be in all sorts of trouble. So I get into the car, and the minute I get in the car, we weren't far up the road until the man said, started talking about church, and he said, was I a Christian? And I sort of was taken aback and I said, well, I go to church every Sunday. And he says, yes, but are you a Christian? Of course I knew what he meant. My sister was saved. And I said, I know what you're meaning. And I said, no, I'm not. I suppose you would not call me a Christian, but I think I am because I go to church every Sunday. But my sister's saved and she thinks that I should be saved. And he says, well, you know, your sister's right. And as I was getting out of the car, he gave me this gospel tract. And I just put it in my bag, went into work. But, you know, I couldn't get it out of all the things he'd said to me in that journey, which seemed to be last forever. And it was only 4 miles up the road. But I just thought, oh, well, you know, I can't wait to get out of this car. And as soon as I got out of the car, went into work, my mind just kept going. I couldn't concentrate on my work because I kept thinking of this gospel tract. It was in my handbag. And I was so tempted to take it out and look at it, and I thought, no, can't the rest of the workmates is going to see me reading this and they'll want to know all about it, and I didn't say anything to anybody. And then at lunchtime, I sort of sneaked it out, had a wee look at it, and at the front of it, it was a gospel tract, and it was written by a man called, it was Noel Grant. He was a Baptist, you maybe have heard of him. And at the front, it showed a picture of Jesus, and it said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So I put the track away. When I got home, after I had my tea that night, I went into the bedroom, and I took the track out, and I started to read it. And I think for the first time in my life, I became concerned, and I realised, you know, maybe I should get saved. But as time went on, I just carried on as normal, doing my usual everyday things every weekend, out and about with my friends. And I didn't try to think too much about getting saved. In 1971, it was the height of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. I wasn't too interested in politics, really. And as I said, I really liked to have a job outdoors, so I joined the RUC, but I didn't join for any other reason except to keep the law, to uphold the law, and to do everyday police work, like burglaries, thefts, driving car accidents, drunk drivers, all that sort of thing. That was what I had in mind. But when I joined the RUC, things were a bit different then. You had those things too, but in along with that, you were getting clear in the area for bomb scares. You were ducking bullets, that sort of thing, and bottles being thrown at you, people spitting at you. It was just a totally different thing in those days. But an incident happened in 1972 with a colleague and I were out on duty, and both our lives, well, we both of us could have lost our lives, but thanks to the Lord, our lives were spared. And the next day I was going up the stairs in the police station and I met a sergeant coming down the other direction. Now, the police station that I was stationed in was full of Christians. So the Lord was guiding me, even though I had no time for the Lord. He had time for me and he was steering me in the right direction, because the chief inspector was a Christian. Two of the inspectors were Christians and about three sergeants were Christians. So I was just surrounded by them. But anyway, this sergeant came down the stairs and met him on the way up, and he said, we were talking about the incident that happened, and we were discussing it, and then I said, yeah, we're really lucky. And he said, no, you weren't lucky. He says, God was good to you. God spared your lives. And he says, he said to me, would you ever think about getting saved? And I says, oh, don't you start. I says, I have my sister on my back. And I says, I've had people tell me this before. And he said, well, do you know why? Your sister loves you. And she cares about your soul. And that's why, he says, she's never off your back. And he says, maybe you should think about it. The Lord has been good to you. And, you know, he was right. And he did give me food for thought. But as I say, time went on. And, you know, I still convince myself, if I go to church on Sunday, I'll be okay. You know, everything will be all right. And I just thought that if I could live my life whatever way I wanted, as long as I went to church on Sunday. Of course, I was deceiving myself. And in 1 John 1, verse 8, we read, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, that's just what I was doing. I was deceiving myself all those years. So I just became a wee bit more concerned as time went on, and I was invited to gospel missions, and I went along to the gospel missions any time I was asked. But, you know, I was finding it more and more difficult to leave without giving my life to the Saviour. And I really was under conviction. In 1975, I got married on the 30th of August. So my husband and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks, well, the day after we got married, it was a Sunday, the 31st of August, and a mission started in Ballymena Town Hall. And by the time we got back from honeymoon and got settled into our new home, the mission would have been over, but they extended it. Such was the number of people that were getting saved at that mission. There was like hundreds of people. I think at the end of the mission, there was over 350 people had come to the Lord, and I was one of them. But anyway, my sister had invited me that night to come along, and my brother-in-law, who, well, they weren't married then, but they got married a few months later. And I went along as usual. And, I was overwhelmed to say, whenever the preacher, the Reverend Ian Paisley, was preaching, and the word went forth, and my heart was just stung. And all I can say is, when they made the appeal, I was just so overwhelmed by the Spirit of God dealing with me. And I sat in my seat and I trembled and I cried. And he asked for anybody who wanted to get saved to raise their hand, and I raised my hand. and I touched my brother-in-law who was sitting beside me, and he led me up to the front. Well, if he hadn't been leading me, I don't know how I would ever got there, because I couldn't see where I was going. The tears were just so flowing so much. And we went into a wee inquiry room, and it was full of people, and they were all crying, and they were all crying unto the Lord to save them. And it was such an event, and it's only if we could see this happening again. It was a wonderful time. And that night, the Lord transformed my life, and I became a new creature. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 40 years saved, and it will be in 10 days' time. And I've been over 20 years a Sunday school teacher. And I just thank the Lord for bringing me into the work in the church and for helping me to teach the boys and girls that they might come to know Jesus as their personal Saviour someday. But the storms of life, of course, don't stop. I mean, no matter whether you're saved or unsaved, you know, we'll all come across storms in our lives at some time. And maybe you haven't had a storm in your life, but I can tell you, if you haven't, you will. Because it comes to us all at some stage. And in 2012, 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And the Lord helped me through it. He gave me promises in his word in Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And in verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And it was God's promises that helped me through that. When I was told by the surgeon that I had cancer, he may as well have taken a gun and shot me, because that's how it felt. I was so convinced that it was all a false alarm. They're going to tell me it's okay, everything's fine, your tumour's benign. I had this all in my head because I'm just a positive thinker usually. Maybe not a good thing, but that was the way I could cope with things. But the Lord helped me through it. For I was shocked for a couple of days, but once I got down before the Lord and really asked him to help me, and he gave me these promises, a peace just came over me. I no longer was afraid of what was going to happen to me, and I knew that the Lord was with me and he would see me through it. So I would just urge you all to go to the Lord whenever you are in trouble, and he will see you through your problems. So if you have a storm in your life, turn to God for help and put your trust in him. Or I would like to ask, are you deceiving yourself today? Are you thinking that just going to church every week is going to help you? And just saying your prayers every night, is that going to help you? I don't think so. Don't deceive yourself. Or are you here tonight because a friend, a neighbour or a loved one has brought you along? Well, I would like to tell you that friend, or that neighbour or that loved one loves you. They care for your soul. And that is why you're here tonight. They want you to come to the Lord. They don't want to go to heaven and see you not there. So I urge you tonight, come to the Saviour. Make no delay. Come to Jesus today.